Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the College Investor Live. I am excited to be joined today by Bobby Hoyt, millennial money man, laptop empires. I don't know. I always view Bobby as a side hustler extraordinaire, and I'll let him share his story a little more in depth. But to kick us off, he was a teacher and he side hustled his way to being an amazing entrepreneur. And, you know, it was a journey, and I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that today. But without further ado, here is Bobby. And if you're seeing this, you're joining us right now, please share this out, like, comment. And yeah, Bobby, take it away.
Hey, what's up? As he said, I'm Bobby. I run millennialmoneyman.com, also Laptop Empires. And yeah, I used to be a high school band director before I started all of this crazy online world stuff back in 2015. And I actually, you haven't had a J Money on this, have you?
I haven't. That's a good one to have. No, we need to do that.
He'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would be fantastic. But yeah, so back when I was a teacher, I paid off a lot of student loan. Well, I say a lot of student loan debt. A lot of people had way more than I did, but I had $40,000 student loans after I came out of college. And I got into band directing, and I very quickly realized that I didn't want to be a band director anymore. So I was just kind of like in a place where I didn't really know what to do, but I had a good friend of mine that was convinced me to pay off my student loans. So I did that, and I did that as quickly as I could. So I paid off $40,000 in a year and a half on my teacher salary. And most of that was just through, honestly, it was just like, we rented a room from my in-laws. I didn't have a car payment at the time. I drove like a little two-door Chevy Colorado thing. And I just lived like as low, as far below my means as I possibly could, which was way easier back then because I didn't have kids. Wasn't married, was able to kind of do a lot of that. And so I paid off the loans quickly. And then I started writing about money, and I actually started on Medium, because I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just started writing some stuff, and I used to write some wild stuff. I used to write just whatever I wanted. I used to say stuff like, you shouldn't have kids to save money. Like just stupid stuff. Cause I didn't realize, like,
wow.
But I know. But then I started sharing that on my personal Facebook page, and like people very shockingly liked what I was writing. And they were like, you're a good writer. And I had no idea that I had that skill, I guess. And so then I started like really kind of diving down the rabbit hole, and I saw Jay Money, from Budgets Are Sexy. And I started looking at his website, and I was like, wow, people are actually doing this and making money online, just writing. And so then 6 months after that, I quit my job, and I had made $3. I'd started a website, but I had made like $3 in Google, in display ads. And I was so done with teaching, and I really wanted to like go off and do something on my own. So I just walked in and quit one day. And from there, that started like the journey to what it is now. Now I've got full-time employees and all sorts of stuff going on, but that was kind of the catalyst. And I was super broke for a long time after I did that, just to preface. Like I had to start a digital marketing agency because I wasn't making any money from blogging. I didn't realize that blligging takes kind of a long time to make money from. And so, yeah, then eventually, you know, I got featured on CNBC for my student loan story, and that's where things kind of started to pick up a little bit for me. And now here I am talking to you.
I love it, man. That is a great story because, you know, I mean, you just ran the full gambit of struggling financially, looking for a side hustle, wanting to change your kind of life and career too, which I think honestly, you know, the combination of both your family budget and, you know, your career circumstance kind of leads a lot of people to side hustle. Like it's kind of like a common theme, right? Like you need money, yeah. But a lot of people are also super frustrated with what they're doing. And, you know, the hard part is everyone, you know, I would say the majority of people, they do like what they do, but like if money wasn't an object, they probably wouldn't be doing that. Right. And 100%. So like combination of the two, right? But I think the hard part is, I think side hustle, it's grown, you know, in popularity, but the connotation is still like a little negative, right? Like,
yeah, I'd say so.
I don't know.
It's an interesting thing. When I first started, I mean, I didn't really write about side hustles a whole lot. Side hustles, like what back then was like this very, it kind of had this like shady term to it. It's like a side hustle is like selling drugs on the side or something. And now I think it's picked up a lot. It definitely picked up a lot right before the pandemic. And then throughout the pandemic, you just see like the search volume for that keyword in Google has just taken off over the last, you know, 5-6 years. I think a lot of it now is just like people's money doesn't go as far as it used to. And that's what I see the most when people are just like emailing about, there's so many more people that just need to make some extra money somehow. And I've just seen it pick up so much. And even like now it's still, I mean, more and more people, it's an interesting thing. I was thinking about it before I came on. It's like more people need side hustles, but also at the same time, because we sell a lot of products. So in Millennial Money Man, we have a few info products. We sell Laptop Empires. We sell a product that teaches people how to run Facebook ads. And the number of people that are requesting payment plans has gone up more than I've ever seen it. So it's like this interesting thing where more people need side hustles. More people can't afford to pay maybe $300 or $400 for a product. So it's just, it's kind of alarming how, I mean, I'm glad that like my businesses are positioned to help people in that way, but it's also kind of alarming that there's that many people that need something. But I do think it goes back to the passion thing too, because you kind of get that too, you get two, you know, areas. You get the people that have good jobs that just hate what they do, and you have the people that are really, really just struggling. And that seems to just keep growing, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you nailed an interesting trend there. And I saw the same thing with our business, you know, leading into the pandemic, you know, side hustle interest was extremely high. And then I think a lot of this pandemic stimulus relief and all that really squashed a lot of demand for that idea of a side hustle and earning more money. And I would say like over the last 6 months, it's kind of been like slowly resurging, and we are seeing a huge demand again for side hustles. But then I also see this other interesting trend. So over the last year, we've been spending a ton of time on TikTok. And I'm going to share some videos here really quick, and we can kind of judge them, because, you know, what else would a good video people do? But, you know, there's a lot of scams when it comes to, you know, side hustles. And I think I'm not going to say any of this is a scam, but like, here's like one that caught my eye.
Let's talk about side hustles that actually work, because let's face it, on TikTok, there's not a lot of side hustles that actually work. But I found one that does. No, I'm not here to sell it to you. No, I don't have a course. I don't want your money. Just trying to help. Check this out. So I'm out at this fancy mattress store buying a big expensive mattress with my wife. Now, there's a lot of markup in mattresses. I knew a guy that had mattresses, but I was not going to go open a mattress store. So then later that day, I got retargeted on Facebook with an ad about Mattress by Appointment. They're a company that allows you to buy wholesale mattresses and sell them on the side, nights, weekends, whenever, by appointment only. And I was like, this is a side hustle that actually works, because it's got a super high margin product. And I thought, you know, if I only sold a couple of these, I could make probably $1,000 a week doing this. So 2 years ago, I started selling mattresses by appointment on the side, and my business exploded.
But he's not going to sell you a car.
So big, I moved into this 8,000 square foot building, and I make thousands of dollars a week doing it. So if you're looking for a side hustle that works, you need to start a mattress by appointment store. Hit a like, hit a follow. I'll show you how to get one in your town.
And he'll show you how to do it. And so it's just this, it's this formula, right? Where like, I'm going to share with you some random niche success, and then I'm going to, you know, sell you something on how to do it. And I do think that getting educated and informed and understanding like a business before you go into it is important. But I do feel like because we're seeing this rise in demand for side hustles, people are also getting preyed on. So you walk an interesting 100%. Line, because you sell info products to help people do it, but you've also lived this journey. You've done this journey. Like, what are your thoughts on this? And where do you think people should, what do you think people should do when they want a side hustle? You know, what do you think? Like, walk us through.
I hate TikTok. For that exact reason. You see so much of this stuff, and it's like, I don't actually hate TikTok, but I do think that there is this, like, if somebody starts a video by saying, I have nothing to sell you, they 100% have something to sell you, or you are the product. Like, that's, and that's one of the things that, you know, like we sell info products, and I think we've sold probably 7,000 to 8,000 copies of like our Facebook side hustle course to date. And the thing about that is like, it's not, the only things that we teach are things that are real businesses that we've actually done, and things that I think are like with the Facebook course, like you're teaching somebody how to become a digital marketer. Like, that's a legit skill it's a legit need. It's not easy though. Like, it's not some kind of like, I'm going to go buy a couple of mattresses and flip it and make thousands of dollars a week. You have to sell. Like, you have to actually jump on the phone with people and sell your services just like any other service would be sold. It's relatively technical. You have to learn how to actually run the ads and manage an ad budget. So there's more to it. And I think that that's the thing. It's like, people position these side hustles and opportunities as like this very easy, no work kind of side hustle, but that's just not the reality. And if something is super, super easy, you're not going to make very much money with it. And so that's kind of where we like to be in more of the, I don't know, teaching people how to actually make like the $2,000, $3,000 a month, but it's work. Like it's a real thing that you have to do.
I love that, because when I always look at side hustles, like there's this spectrum, right? And I feel like on one end, you have the stuff like paid surveys. It's a fun one to talk about because they get a lot of crap, right? But yeah, let's seriously, we have these paid survey companies that like get you to sign up and, hey, I'll give you $5, sign up for my paid survey and you can make money. And it's 100% true. You can make money. But you will make just like $5. Yeah, like $5. Yeah. And
which is fine. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either. But you're also not spending any time doing it, which is cool.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny. We were just talking about this as a team the other day. Because just like everybody else, like we have survey companies that reach out and they're like, hey, can you scale traffic to us or whatever? And it's always such a hard thing for us because we make money by promoting surveys and because people search for that. Like there's a lot of people that want to take surveys. But I think there has to be an honesty about it. It definitely has to be an honesty of like, this is not something where you can make significant money. This is essentially a game that you're playing. Like, that's the way that I look at them. It's like, if you're bored and you want to do something instead of play, you know, other than playing like Candy Crush, like if you're a person that does that kind of stuff, then sure, you can take some surveys and like make some money. Another good example is like my mom loves the survey thing. Like she sees it and she's like, oh, this is fun. And she sits there at night and she just like does surveys. That's like a different thing than saying like you can take surveys as a legit side hustle to make, you know, because the people that generally search for that term are usually pretty desperate. Like they need money like right now. It could be marketed. It could be marketed pretty badly. You know, it could be like, yeah, this is your way to make a bunch of money quickly, but you just don't make very much money. It's like almost nothing.
I used to be the survey guy when I was in college. I'm going to date myself here, and Amazon Mechanical Turk had just like come onto the marketplace, right? So I used to sit in college during my lectures. And this was back when like all those CAPTCHA things, like where you had to like choose the shape, like the machines were still trying to learn this. So they were outsourcing that stuff to like Mechanical Turk, and they'd pay you like 5 cents every one you'd complete. So I'd be in class and I'd just be like, oh, penguin, oh, this, while the lecture's going on. And like, I'd make like $3 every single class. But you know what? Like I was helping me buy a soda. I was helping, you know, and I was like, I thought it was great because like when you're a college student and like all I wanted to do is get like a Coke at lunch, and like if I can get like $2, like I go to the vending machine and I feel okay, right? So it serves a purpose. Then I think you have this like middle ground of things like that, like they could earn a little money, they have the potential to earn more money, kind of how much time you devote. It's very much like dollar per hour. I think of things like rideshare, delivery, even things like freelance writing, like the more time and effort you put in, and it doesn't take a lot of, you know, you get better with practice, I guess I should say. So it's not skill-less. Yeah. Like, you know, you figure out how to maximize your earnings, but it kind of takes like 100% correlated to time equals dollars as you go. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Cause like we actually have a proofreading course. We have a freelance writing course. And the only reason we actually have that is because my head of content, who's a full-time employee, like she had a proofreading business and she had a freelance. That's how I hired her. But I would say like, those are ways to make extra money. Freelance writing, you know, you can make a full-time living at that, but I think it's a tough living to make it that way. I personally wouldn't try to do that as a full-time job. Proofreading, I don't see that as a full-time job at all. That's a way to make, again, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 a month, which is fine. You know, I think that those things are, it's the same thing. You have to sell, right? Like, and that's the thing about all of these side hustles that are legit. You usually have to sell some type of service. You have to learn the skills of actually like trading your time for money And it's mostly freelancer based stuff. That's, I like to stick in the freelancing space.
Well, because
I
think that's a where good
place.
Yeah. And I think that's where you get to is that you get to like trying for dollars to then like to be like a really well-paid and or high-end freelancer, freelance writer, things like that. It starts to blur into pseudo entrepreneurship and then even real entrepreneurship. I mean, like you are your own business. So like, I think on like the one end, you drive, you get paid, you go, you write an article on Upwork or Fiverr, you get paid, you move on. And it's not super scalable at first until you build that skill set, that network, you get better at what you do. Cause that was my thing. I actually, one of one of my first side hustles was flipping stuff on eBay, but then freelance writing was actually the thing that really got me going when I started blogging. And I would freelance write to the tune of $1,000 to $3,000 a month, but I was doing it $20 at a time. And it was, you know, that's what was, this was, you know, 10 years ago. And so it's like, you wrote a 300 to 500 word article for like $20. And then like, I started being well known on delivering stuff on time, accurate, things like that. And I would raise my rate to like $50. And then I'd raise my rate to $100. But like, you have to get good at what you do. You have to build a skill set. You have to market yourself a little bit, build a network, right? And then you kind of move into like this upper echelon of side income, right?
Yeah. When we first, so back when in my other business, Laptop Empires, when we first put out the Facebook side hustle course, we were very adamant that you should not work for free. And I think looking back on that, I actually think that was a little bit of a mistake on our part and just a little bit of like, you have to build up a portfolio somehow. Any one of these, if you want to be like a freelancer and you want to actually, you want, especially if you want to start pushing into that, like 3, 4, 5,000 plus per month, like you have to have a body of work that you go to people with. And all of the side hustles that we teach, like the reality is like, you're not, it's not easy to go out and just make $2,000 a month right away. Like you have to hustle. I mean, we always teach people how to sell. We teach people how to like position their services and all of that. But for a long time, we were like, don't ever do work for free. Now we've kind of changed it to where it's like, there's more competition in the marketplace. More people have access to these freelancing courses and services. So you have to actually go out and like prove your value. And so that might mean working for free in exchange for testimonials, or that might be like working for like a lower dollar amount. And then, you know, expanding with that client once you do a good job. It's just changed. I think it's changed a lot over the years. You can still make great money, but I do think like with any of these things and any of the stuff with going back to TikTok, nothing is super easy anymore, especially with the online stuff. Like I can't think of like a super, super easy way to make $5,000 a month. That's just, you don't have to deal with people or you don't have to like build a portfolio or like, do you know of anything like that? Maybe you do.
No. And I think you're right. But like, the jump to $5,000 a month, I don't think is necessary. Like to me, like I always see these things in the news and I get a lot of reader emails too. And my number one question with people that are struggling is like, what is the delta we're trying to close in your monthly budget? Like you got your income, you got your expenses, like you're trying to pay off debt. You're trying to make ends meet, make rent. I don't know. I'm like, so what is that number that we're trying to get to? And I would say for the majority of people, it's, we're trying to close something less than $500. Usually it's $100 to $300 a month, right?
Yeah.
And so like, you know, when I'm trying to say like, okay, day one, like you need to go just download Uber, Lyft, Postmates, DoorDash, whatever, because those apps will also let you redeem your money right away, right? Like they'll let you pay, like you just need to solve this problem today, like go do it. And they're like, but I'm only going to make $5 when I deliver it. Well, that's $5 more than you have right now. And you're going to do that 4 times tonight. You're going to make $20 and then you're going to do that 5 times this week. And guess what? You've closed your gap. And I don't think people like to hear that, but like, dude, you're not going to make rent this month. Like you need to take this action right now instead of sitting at home waffling. And then we can start tearing on and leveling up into some of these other things that can permanently close the gap, solve that, and then start moving in the positive direction. And so my goal would always, let's get to 5,000 a month. But I do think it's rare to do that. I think it would take someone at least 18 months to 2 to 3 years before they could probably consistently do that. But I do think getting to like $1,000 to $2,000 a month within like 12 to 18 months for something like freelance writing, 100% doable if you do it. Yeah. Like I want to share my example with you. I posted this on Twitter last week because I was looking for some new freelance writers and I've kind of exhausted my network. You know, I have people that I really like on my team, but like, I just can't give them more. I don't want to burn them out because I want to save them, you know?
And then, there's a limit. There's a limit.
There is a limit, you know? And some of these people really do like value the work to live. Like they're on our team because it's like, I want to write this because like, I am literally going to go travel to the Caribbean. Like, I don't want to do more. Like I have this lifestyle that I want. So I was looking for more writers, kind of exhausted my network. So I went on Upwork, right? And I'm a big person that I'm going to always pay you for your first assignment. I'm not like about, you know, like I'm not going to ask you to work for free. Like I want to see your samples. Like I want to give you something real that I would really assign you. And I'm going to pay you what I would really pay you. And I hired six people. I gave them all six test assignments, right? Like this is what I want you to do. All six of them were shit. Like 100%. Some of them were like so inaccurate, like literally like factually inaccurate content. Like, how are you delivering this? And it was like basic stuff. Like how do you mistake that? Like, you know, what the oldest college in the United States is a great example. Like you could freaking Wikipedia this thing. Like it's not actually very hard to do this. Like don't bullshit. And then, you know, like, so like, guess what? Like none of them actually got rehired and people were like, oh, like, do you have any more assignments for me? I'm like, no. And one person actually asked like, why? And I was like, because you submitted factually inaccurate content. And they're like, I didn't know it had to be accurate. And I'm just like, no joke.
That's I don't interesting. Know. That's part of the, actually, that's a big reason when we came out, we have our course is called Big Money Writer. We just launched it last month. But one of the things we didn't want to launch it as a course, kind of for the same reason that you're talking about, we do it more as like a challenge. It's like a 40-day challenge. So they're required to write every single day for 40 days, because I don't think with something like freelance writing, you can just jump into it and just like take a course and then become a freelance writer. Like, I think you have to become you have to be a writer. Like actually write stuff on the page and have it critiqued and feedback. Like that's kind of our goal, is like to accelerate that process for people. And it's really interesting to see people go through that, because we have like prompts that they have to write some kind of short story on every day. But I do think, there is something to that too. But I think the good news with what you're talking about with the Upwork stuff is that you don't actually have to be that great to stand out, unfortunately, in a lot of these instances, because there's so many 100%. People. Well, I've seen videos where people are TikTok stuff where people are like, if you want to become a freelance writer, you know, go write something in ChatGPT and then submit it for like through Upwork and then make money that way. And that's like, that's not a good way to make money. Like that's not a good way to build like a kind of pseudo business like you talked about, where it's like you have a client base and you're getting consistent work. Like you get consistent work by doing good work. And that's
well, I would tell you a couple things for all of these TikToks. This is a good segue really quick, but the ChatGPT and the AI stuff. If you want to make a business freelance writing, and if you have a content site and you're watching this, do not use these tools. So you can use it for like an outline or something like that, or brainstorming ideas. But like, remember, these are language learning simulators. So they basically go on the web, they find all the information, and they like compile it all together to deliver you a result. So I have tried, I mean, it made headlines like a month ago with like CNET and Bankrate and all these companies like getting in trouble for inaccurate content. We've tried it. Same thing. Like it can't tell you that like, for example, I was asking it to like, you know, create an article on IRA contribution limits. And it like every like line, it like had a different IRA contribution limit. And it's like, I think it was like pulling different years and didn't know if it should plagiarize itself and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, you can't trust it. So then you're spending almost more time editing it. But then part two is, I think it really does run the risk of plagiarism. So another big brand that was using ChatGPT was pulling quotes from our website.
And, I saw you go off on Twitter about this the other day. I think this was this. Yeah, I saw it. I was like,
I have a hunch that it was generated through ChatGPT, and I called them on it. We actually had a phone call with this brand with profuse apologies and different things. But you know why I think it was AI, and they never admitted one way or another if it was AI or not. But the reason I think it was AI is because it was pulled from an obscure article. Like this isn't like headline. This isn't anything. Like I had to go into Google and type the quote. So I was like, the fuck did I say? I didn't say this. And I found it in like a really old article. And like, you know, the weirdest thing that had nothing to do with anything related to what the article that was published was written. So it's like somewhere, right. somewhere along the line, an AI like pulled that quote, found it, thought it made sense. And it's a little scary because it's like, one, I didn't agree to be like quoted or cited or anything. And then two, you pulled this from like some obscure thing. I mean, it's fine, yeah. whatever. But like, you need to be very mindful about these tools. And I think they'll get better. But at the same token, like, this is your business. And if you want to grow it, it's going to be very clear if you use these tools. They have checkers now. So it's just like, don't, yeah. just don't do it. Write your original content. And I'll tell you, the highest paid writers we have stand on their own from, they are doing things like filing freedom of information requests and getting unique data, or putting together unique data and having unique insights, or, you know, they are notable experts in their field. And like, those art writers make a crap ton of money because they deliver these results that you're not delivering on a computer generated thing. Like, you have to put some work into it.
Yeah, that's what we kind of found. Because like, when did the ChatGPT stuff really blow up? Was that like 2 months ago? Was it January when that really started going off?
Yeah, I think it went out of beta last year. And then people like, it was just like this huge inflection of people writing with it, right?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's just like, because, you know, across both of the businesses, all of the products that, almost all the products we deal with have copywriting in some form or fashion. Like, there's some level of copywriting, whether it's freelance writing or email marketing. And there was that fear of like, is this going to put all of that out of business? And like, I used it, the team used it, everybody really dug into it and was like, what is this about? And pretty quickly we were just like, this isn't even worth using, at least right now. Like, we wouldn't, even if it was, I guess, even if it was like factually accurate right from the beginning, it's so hard to get the prompt that you want. Like, it's so, you have to be a master at getting it to output what you want. So you have to become a master of input. And so like, Ariel, my head of content, Millennial Money Man, like, she tried it so many times. She was like, this takes longer than me just writing an article and just doing it myself and doing a good job. And so like, we don't even touch that stuff. And maybe I'll be wrong about my take on it, which is that it's just kind of overhyped. You know, maybe 5 years from now, I'll be totally wrong and it puts everybody out of business. But I still think like, the quality of your work is, it matters a lot. And like, that, that's not replaceable. And just trusting that somebody, exactly what you're talking about, somebody is like really doing their research, really doing their homework, really going above and beyond. Like, I think that that's where content is probably going. I don't think that it's just spitting out as much volume as possible, as quickly as possible. It just doesn't seem like it's going to work. Yeah,
absolutely. I think the AI stuff is a great, it's going to knock out like all the 101 level stuff. Like, you know, if you have a question, like, what is the IRA contribution limit for 2023? Like, just give them the answer. Like, one, no writer actually wants to write that article. Like, it must be written, but like, no one actually wants to do the work. Part two is like, it's like question answer, like, let's deliver it. But I think where you're going to get the writing needs to go is the insights, the personalization, the customization, even things like this, like, you know, video, like, let's have a conversation about these tools, see different viewpoints, understand different perspectives. Which in some markets I get actually very like sad about, because like, I see like personal finance becoming like mainstream media, where it's like, you know, you have a set of facts and then you have like different viewpoints, and then you built whole media empires around conservative, liberal, independent. And then you even have things like comedy based, like you have like the Comedy Central News, you know, Daily Show. Right. But like, it's like, you know, that's where personal finance is heading. And it kind of makes me sad. Like, you're going to have all these different ones, and we've always had it. Yeah. We've always had this idea of, you know, there's definitely like creators out there that infuse comedy into like money and stuff. But I think that's what you're going to have more of. And it's like, I hope, you know, we still help people and don't just become so crazy, right?
Yeah, that is, it's an interesting thing. I mean, we've been talking about that a lot. We had a team retreat last week, the whole week in Asheville, North Carolina. And like, the big thing we were talking about was mission and, you know, all that kind of like, I don't know, like top, like feel good kind of stuff that you talk about as a business. But it was really trying to figure out like, how, I don't know, how do we make a real impact moving forward on people's lives? Cause I thought like, that's been the thing that I've enjoyed the most. And I think it's easy to kind of, especially when you're like a financial content, I don't know, it's easy to like get caught up in like making tons of money from online surveys or like, you know, generate, but it's like, at the end of the day, what are you actually doing with that? And that's been the question that I've had in my mind. Like, I want to continue to do stuff that I feel really good about. That's why I like the courses, because you can, the people that really take it seriously, like they have like a real life impact and you change their lives. That's what I hope that more people start really going to in the personal finance industry. I don't think that that's the case though. I think that more people are just, I don't know. I think it's going to be more money grabs, and not that it isn't. I guess I don't really know where I'm going with this other than that. I just want to make sure that, you know, I have impact and that, you know, a lot of people, like I know that you've changed a lot of people's lives with your content and just the way that you operate your business. And I hope that more people do that. And maybe there's going to be more opportunities for that. You know?
And I mean, there always is more opportunities, and you know, things change. Like we're talking about side hustles today that didn't even exist a decade ago, and there's going to be new stuff that comes out in the future and stuff like that. But I guess let's kind of refocus. Like if you were to like encourage someone that wanted to start side hustling, earning some extra money, I mean, we are facing this, you know, kind of uncertain headwinds, right? You said you've seen an uptick in payment plans. Yep. You know, we've seen an uptick in search volume for side hustles. We're seeing layoffs in a lot of blue collar, you know, a lot in a white collar workers like tech, things like that. Like what are like maybe your top five favorite side hustles? Maybe let's start with, like, what are your top favorite? Like I have a need income in the next 90 days side hustle, like starter. I've never side hustled before. Like where do I start? And then maybe we'll do like your top five, like all time best.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I would say honestly, like, surprisingly, like shockingly, the driving stuff has hung on longer than I thought it was going to. And the, like the grocery delivery and like Instacart, all those things. I think that those are probably the most accessible way to make decent money. Just like we talked about, where it's like, if you need to make like $100 to $500 a month, you can go and hustle and there's still somehow demand. Like there's a lot of demand. And I mean, if you look at like, you look at these companies and what they're putting out and the stickiness of like the delivery and that it stuck somehow. Like I really thought that after the pandemic, it was going to just like all wash up, and it, I guess people are just lazy and like to order things and get it delivered. So I think that that's, if I was looking at like, what's the best way to make that 100 to 500, that's probably my number one, just any of the delivery apps. And then I also think I really like flipping stuff. Like I actually look at the furniture flipping and the eBay flipping stuff is still pretty viable, not to get rich, but like, every week we have people that drive down our street and like go through the stuff that we throw out, and they're going and they're selling that stuff on Facebook Marketplace. And like, it's, you have to hustle to do it, but that's a real way to make money.
Well, and I think I'm going to stop you right there. I think that's great. And I think to me, there's two things. I love flipping. I have two things listed on eBay right now. Like I've been flipping. My eBay account started in 2001. I've been doing it for over 20 years of selling crap on eBay. And like, it just never goes. Like you have a bug, you see it, it's easy to flip. It takes 5 minutes. Yep. You can do that. But where I also like to challenge people is start in your house. Like don't try to even get on to like yard sales, Facebook free, buy now or buy nothing groups. Like, what do you have in your own home right now that you could sell? And I guarantee that you have a lot of stuff. Some of the things that come to mind are CDs, DVDs, collectibles, clothing. Do you have any designer clothes? Clothes you don't even wear anymore. Maybe they don't fit anymore. You know, household stuff. My God, old kids' toys. If you have children, like when they grow out of it, people will pay you $5 for like, you know, little ride-on scooters and different things. Like, furniture. Like I don't want you to like live with nothing, but you know, a lot of us accumulate a lot of crap. don't use it. Yeah. And so that's selling that,
especially stuff, when you have a kid, man. Now that we have a kid, we have so many toys. Like so many toys. And you could, I mean, I talked to my wife about that yesterday. I was like, we have to like offload some of these, and we're going to donate it, but like I totally agree with you. And I like what you said too about, you said sell it for $5. Like you don't, I feel like everybody feels like they have to go for these like home runs. Like I've got to make $100 on this thing or 200. It's like, if you can do some volume and get good at it, like I have a friend that he makes, I don't want to say an exact number. He makes several thousand dollars a year just flipping shoes. And not like the sneakers that are behind me, like the popular stuff, like dress shoes. Like there's a market for dress shoes, but he had to figure that out. So like he was selling his own stuff, and then he started going to garage sales and just finding old shoes and buying them for 50 cents and then flipping them for $20. Like, there's a lot of money to be made there as a side hustle, like as a good side hustle.
Yeah. I mean, I'll share. I was making $2,000 a month as a side hustle. And that was my profit when I was in college doing this. And so I started with my own crap, just exactly what I said. I used to have like an old Super Nintendo with all the games. And then I, you know, sorry, I had old Magic the Gathering cards and like just stuff that like you accumulate over time. That just stayed in a drawer and I didn't use it. And then I started going to garage sales, estate sales, and I'd focus specifically on things I knew about, right? So I start electronics, collectibles, trading cards. And this was before like, you know, some of this stuff was hot, but you know, it was really easy to go do because the cool thing is you can do this on your time schedule. You can go and, I mean, you do have to go to a garage sale estate sale, but typically they're on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, Sunday. So usually one of those days works. You can list stuff at eBay at midnight because I would consistently do that. I was working, right? So I'd go to work, I'd come home, I'd hang out with the family. And then at like 9:30, I'd go and list things on eBay. And then on the same thing, the packing and shipping, like I when it's sold, I would do that at night, like late, you know? And then I would just drop it by the post office on the way to work. Like, so it's a cool thing that you can do that fits in your time frame as a side hustle.
Yeah. No, I think moving on from those ones, because that's like the, I don't know. I mean, with the flipping stuff, it's interesting that like flea market flippers, you've seen them.
I love those. I
love them too.
Oh yeah.
God, they're awesome. But I mean, they sell
high-ticket
stuff.
They're selling like 10,000. Well, they sell like freaking ovens and like.
Yeah. They're selling like professional. I was about to say like, you can turn that side hustle into something where you make a lot of money. It does require capital though. And that's where it comes down to like, if you're going to go that route, like you've got to build and it takes a long time and you're not going to just become, you know, you're not just going to make like a $50,000 a year flipping things quickly. Like that just, it takes skill. But I think, you know, kind of moving on from like the lower side hustles, the ones where you can start to make the $1,000, $2,000. I like the ad management stuff. And I am going to say this, I have courses on most of these things. And I want to preface this with like, the reason that we have courses on these things is because I believe in them and I know that they're good things to do. Not just that I have courses on them. So I'm just putting that out there, but like the ad management stuff is good. That's how I started making money. Because I was broke doing the blogging thing and I was like, oh, you don't actually make any money. So I started, the jeweler that made my wife's wedding ring. I just reached out to them and asked them if they needed help with their business. And so their blog was really bad at the time. Their website was really bad. They weren't running any ads and I didn't take a course or do anything. I just started working and figuring things out. And fortunately, like they gave me the space to be able to do a little bit of that. But it pays really well to do like marketing, especially for local companies, because it's all stuff that's not like super, super difficult. You don't have to get really like in the weeds with the data and like retargeting and all of that. Like you're really just running, like if you're running Facebook ads or something like that, you're just doing a geographic, like the copy is very simple. You're just doing local targeting and a radius. It's all simple stuff. So I like that one. I do like all the kind of copywriting ones, the proofreading and the freelance writing and those things. I like bookkeeping a lot.
That's a good one. Yeah.
I think bookkeeping is great because every business that does any amount of revenue that's like significant, they need somebody to help with the books unless they're just really good at that on their own. And there's not a lot of good bookkeepers out there, I feel like. I mean, I'm sure there are, but they're kind of hard to find. You have a bookkeeper, I'm guessing, right? Like your accounting firm does that.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So. No, and that's the thing. So I would say bookkeeping is actually a great springboard that you can be a bookkeeper and there is a niche for just bookkeeping. And I have someone that just does bookkeeping. And then I have the accountant that does the tax preparation and stuff. And sometimes they're connected. Sometimes it can be the springboard. If you like it, you get into that. Sometimes I've also found that a lot of bookkeepers can like do more contract work for accountants. I don't know if you teach this in your course, but I've seen this a lot in tax season where, you know, people will come into the tax office and just dump down a ton of forms on them. Yeah. And like the same person that does the bookkeeping can like literally turn that into the P&L statements and things for the accountants at tax time for a fee, of course. Right. But anyways. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's just, I like that one because there's a lot of different niches that you can work into. Like you can become a bookkeeper that just specializes in e-com businesses or just special, like, because there's industry knowledge and like, you do have to have a good understanding and foundation. Like if you have a good foundation as a bookkeeper, you can do the books for probably about anything, but it is pretty, I think it's simpler in that line of work to like really niche yourself and just like working with a specific type of client and scale. And I think that one pays well. It's a pretty technical thing, you know, so you can command some pretty good prices for it. And there's a lot of work opportunities too. Like I went through this journey with bookkeeping where like I could not find a good bookkeeper, and I had a good accountant, but they were always trying to find a good bookkeeper. And then they would like kind of go through people. And then at one point I actually hired a bookkeeper from the Philippines, which I would say was a horrible mistake that I made. And so now I have an accounting firm that handles all of it. And they hire bookkeepers, but they always need bookkeepers. So I think there's a lot of, I think there's a lot.
I was going to say too, like you have, I also think you need to look at your personality. So I think when you do like bookkeeping, you know, it is a lot of data entry and like categorization, things like that, but you can do it for e-com businesses or online businesses. And like all those businesses are going to be very comfortable with you being remote. Like they'll send you documents. Yeah. You'll never have to see them. But then there's like this whole other world. And it kind of is tangential to what you said earlier with like ad management, is that there is this world of small businesses out there that are like contractors, plumbers, trades, whatever, cleaning companies. And their websites suck, their ads suck, and they rely on someone that probably should retire in the office with like paper receipts that could probably use your services as well, but doesn't even go online. So if you like call them, check in with them, offer your services with them, you might have a lot of success there as well.
Yeah, 100%. Bookkeeping is definitely one of my favorite ones. I like email marketing a lot. I actually don't have a course on email marketing. We have a copywriting course that is a little bit different. I think that good email marketers are hard to find, like really, really good, especially when you get into like the direct response world, which is really big in e-com, not as much in like the personal finance stuff that we do. But if you can get a really good email marketer, they can generate a lot of revenue for your company. And there's more to it than just ChatGPT and like spitting out words. Like what I look for in an email marketer is somebody that can do strategy, can build automations, can analyze the data, can, you know, do split tests. Like there's a whole lot that goes into that. And so that's one that I see is like that one pays really well. You can get on usually it's like retainer based and not as much just like email based, although it can be, and you can make like $100 per email that you write and up depending on how experienced you are. But that's one that I think is really like, there's a lot of opportunity for it. A lot of people need email marketing help. And you can easily go above and beyond by just doing more than just writing copy.
Well, and that's it. I think so many people, and I've tried to hire this role too as well, is that they just want to write emails. And it's like, I don't need you to just write emails. Like I need you to come up with a strategy that starts with like the ad and or the website opt-in, delivers through the email that delivers on that promise, and then split testing, some data analytics, like what's converting, what's not converting, have a deep understanding, and then like can iterate on different versions of that. But it all has to connect, and all of them are just like, well, I can write you like 7 emails. And it's like,
no, that's not gonna cut it. That doesn't cut it. That is one thing that ChatGPT, because email is different than the blog post stuff that we were talking about earlier.
Like,
you could probably get away with doing like copying other people's work and that kind of thing in email. And I would imagine that a lot of people are using ChatGPT to just spit out emails. And I think that people aren't going to like catch on as quickly that it's just duplicated content from somewhere else, because email marketing kind of lives in its own space. But I think that I think you can be easily replaced if you just write copy for that. Like there's just, it's not something I actually use ChatGPT to test this out. Like I said, write me a landing page for this product, write me a full sequence. And it actually spit out like decent stuff. But what it can't do is actually build the automations for me, make sure all the tagging is right on the back end, make sure that they're split testing, all those different things. Like can't do that. So if you want to be an email marketer and you want to make $2,000-$3,000 a month per client, you should learn how to write landing page copy, build landing pages, build automations, do all of it. And you're going to have, it's going to be easy for people to hire you, because there's so many people that are.
And some of the things that I've actually loved on ChatGPT is like writing headlines. So I'll say something like, write me 10 headlines about this topic. And my target audience is a busy single mom, and she doesn't take your crap or something. And then like, it'll put out all these headlines. And I would tell you all of them get you like 80%, but it gives you a really good idea of some tone, some feeling, some different things. Yep. And then like, but it takes you to massage that into it. And then, you know, you got to write the article that hits that. And I think that's the other problem with, not problem, but one of the biggest things with email marketing is, you know, that combination of pulling on that emotional like trigger point, and then like pulling them through to like actually convert and or take an action, right? Whatever that action happens to be, right?
Yeah. And it's not easy. I mean, it's definitely, I would say it's like that out of, I would probably say bookkeeping's an easier freelancing. Well,
I think it's your mindset too. No, but see, this is where it's like, you also, I feel like the people that make the most in freelancing or side hustles, they found a side hustle that significantly aligns with their personality type. So to me, a bookkeeper is data analytical. Like they like that kind of stuff. They just want to categorize. Yeah. They just want to execute. They want to put the data right. Done. Whereas like, to me, like writing is very creative. You know, it's a soft skill. You need to have some different things. And so like, you have to have this balance, or you need to find one that really aligns with your style. Right. And maybe, maybe you're into technical writing or stuff like that. But, the more alignment you get, I think the better you are.
Yeah. 100%. And then let's see, I'm trying to think of one more. Where do you feel like web development fits into the grand scheme of all this stuff? Because like, I've found that it's hard to find a good, like I have good web developers now doing what I do, but I felt like the process of finding somebody that was really good was hard.
Yes. I think if you are a developer of any type, side hustling is a fantastic opportunity for you. And I think there's different levels of this too. Like if you have enough skills to be dangerous and can make a WordPress site and follow some basics of SEO, like you could sell $500 to $1,000 websites to small businesses all day. There are plumbers and trades and all these people out there that have the world's most terrible websites. And it's like, we were recently remodeling and doing some work, and my God, it's like, I can't find anyone. And I'm like, these guys, like, you know, all they have is a phone number, and it's like, they don't even have it. And they're very good at what they do, and they could like make so much more money, but like they don't have a web presence. And anyone that's under 40 is probably only going to be looking for you on the internet. And, you know, and also having a good website unlocks you from being like, you know, stuck on Yelp and other things. Like you need those. But like, if you have your own presence, like you don't have to be like such a, you know, like handcuffed to those. Right. Yeah. And so I think if you have that, if you have a basic skill set, there's a huge market for you. And then I think if you have a very technical skill set, like there's a market for you as well, because like we're trying to develop some interesting web app stuff. And it's like, I know enough to be dangerous. I could tell you exactly what I want, but right. I don't know necessarily the best architecture and stuff to deploy this, like what language on the front end, back end, yada, yada, yada. And so there's definitely a skill set that's there. And honestly, like for what I need, like, I bet you, if you're like a developer at Google, maybe someone's watching this that is, you can reach out to me. But like, if you are, you would probably be like, oh dude, I can make that in like an afternoon. Right. And I'm like, well, I'd probably pay you several thousand dollars for you to make this whatever in the afternoon, because like, I know exactly what I want. I could tell you what I want, but I don't have that technical know-how, and I could do it, but it would probably take me 30 days, have a bunch of errors, and I'd have to troubleshoot it. But like, if you have that skill set, like you could make thousands of dollars and very quickly probably, but you gotta put yourself out there and try it. Right. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you, this is kind of rare. I feel like this is a little bit like unicornish, but if you have a little bit of design skill too, like if you're good, like if you're pretty decent, I'm going to say like a B plus kind of developer, where you can basically do everything that WordPress needs, but you can't do something like super crazy. But if you have a little bit of an eye for design too, you can do well with that and kind of sell things as like a all-in-one, one-stop shop. And I think that's really good for the local websites, like you were talking about, because most local websites look terrible. Like they just look awful. So if you, if you can do a little bit of that, and I do think too, like going back to the local thing, it's really interesting. Like local SEO in my experience is way easier than what we do. Like, you know, like trying to compete on the really high volume keywords, like you're competing against a bunch of businesses. I mean, it's very much location based. So people are, you know, there's less volume, there's less competition. Most of the competitors have terrible websites and they don't know how to do anything that has to do with like any kind of optimization. Like you can win very easily, I feel like, in local SEO. So yeah, that's a good one. Like you could sell those sites for $5,000-$10,000 and help them get cheaper leads. Like that's what it really comes down to. Cause like the local businesses are going on Yelp and they're paying tons of money for leads when they could get much cheaper just by ranking in Google.
Yeah. And I'd say it doesn't even need to be that much. I mean, you could sell your services for that and the businesses would probably pay, but I would say start, find five, like maybe find two businesses, say like, I will make you a $500 website and then iterate, use that as a portfolio and then raise that rate up all over and over again. And it's super easy to do if you have that basic, if you know what you're doing. I would also say, you kind of touched on it, if you design, like for the artsy people, I think there is a big opportunity for graphic designers in this world.
Yeah.
In terms 100%. Of being able to create, I don't know, a good example I was looking for the other day is like YouTube thumbnails or, mm-hmm. you know, things like that, like putting together, you have to know enough to be dangerous, but like, you know, it's pretty simple work once you kind of get the hang of it, right?
Yeah. You just reminded me of video editing. Like that's such a big one right now that is like, we hired a video editor maybe 2 months ago. And it's really crazy how helpful it can be, especially now. It's like everything's moving to YouTube and TikTok, and like you have to be able to compete, I think, a little bit in those areas. And I can use CapCut or whatever, you know, I can use like the video editing stuff, but as a business owner, I hate using it. Like I don't want to spend an hour trying to do jump cuts and put text in and all of that. And you can, I think that like that TikTok style video, like the I don't know, like the Alex Hormozy style short format with the text that you see all over the place. Like that's not hard to do. It just takes time. Like it's sort of tedious, but if you can be a really good editor and be creative, you can make great money doing that. I don't think that the opportunity is going to dry up there for a long time.
No, right? I think and that's the thing, is the platform's going to change and the style is going to change. But if you can understand, and even as we've seen this evolution, like the style changes, it used to be like straight this, and then there was a bunch of jump cuts, and then there's like zooming, and then like, you know, who knows what the next like trend's going to be. But if you can just pay attention enough to the trends and like put together some videos, and honestly, if you're in like, what is it, like Lightroom or one of the tools, I don't know. Yeah. Like you could probably template this, and like once you do it a few times, you could probably roll a bunch of clients right through it, and you're even making more money for less effort, right?
Yeah, it's interesting just talking through this. Like there are so, when I first started, well, I started in 2015. When did you start College Investor?
2009.
Holy crap!
I know, right?
The sheer number of just like opportunities to make money online is crazy. I think right now it's like, you can jump into any one of those. You can find some course, or you can find a tutorial on YouTube or whatever. There's a lot of ways to do it. I think if you just have some kind of like, the biggest thing I'm taking away from this conversation, if you just have some level of like, I'm going to work a little bit harder than everybody else and over deliver and just, do more than other people are willing to do, it's a lot of money to be made, you know, and whether it's $100, $500 or more, you know?
Yeah. I would say, okay, let's, we're getting close to the top of the hour here, but what would you say, and I'm going to share mine after you share yours, but what is the most unique or craziest or oddest or just outside the box side hustle that you've seen to date? You think it's I don't think that's even that uncommon these days. Like OnlyFans I don't know, is like it's a just, big thing now.
I know. It's the weirdest one to me because you know what's weird to me? The level, because we've surveyed the Millennial Money Man community about this and like sent emails out about it, and the sheer number of people that are willing to do it is crazy to me. Like I always thought of it as like, oh, this is like something that, you know, somebody does and they don't tell anybody about. People are like super open about it. Oh, I'll take feet pics all day and I'll share this and I'll get on OnlyFans and do that. That part has been wild for me to see. Cause like, I don't think people care as much about like protecting their, like, I don't know. I think that they're willing to just put anything on the internet more.
I mean, realize OnlyFans, I just had to Google it really quick. OnlyFans last year paid out $3.86 billion to creators on their platform. $3.8 billion. So, I mean, if there's a thing, it's rule 34. I mean, it's rule 34. We'll just leave it at that. You guys can Google that if you don't know what that is.
I don't know. I'm going to have to Google that. But so that's not the weirdest. It's not the weirdest one. It's the weirdest one to me. The volume of people, you know, the weirdest one that I've actually seen, like this isn't even a side hustle, but there's a lady that makes, I think it's like, she makes several million dollars a year just making slime on YouTube. Like that's all she does. Like there's so many things like that, that I think that's a slow burn. Like that's something that she probably did, started years ago making slime, and then she posted the videos on YouTube. But there's so many weird things like that where you can build an audience around it and there's so many vehicles right now for building an audience that you can kind of do anything. And it's like, that's the, I think the biggest difference now versus maybe 10 years ago, like there weren't as many ways to build an audience around some kind of weird niche thing. Now you can kind of do it around anything. You can do it pretty quickly with the reach that everybody's getting right now. So,
and you sell it, right? So I think it's that combination, is that we live in a day and age when you can transmit stuff, whether it's email or ship stuff anywhere for relatively inexpensive. And then you can communicate out and you can build communities. And it's very, I wouldn't say it's easy to build communities, but the tools, technology, and way to create a community is much simpler than it ever was. And you can build it across the world versus you know, having a hometown meetup or something. I would say the most interesting one I've seen, and I was on a podcast with them. It's a mom and son, and this was last year. And the son's side hustle is that there is a unique type of cockroach that's only in their area of Alabama. I'm not even joking to you. And it's like a thing. And he goes out and finds these cockroaches in the forest, and he packages them up and he sells them online for hundreds of dollars a month. And he's like, who are your customers? And he's like, colleges and universities and high schools across the country want these for their science classes. And he's like, so I put them in like little Tupperware and I mail them out. And I'm like, and he's like, well, they're only in Alabama or whatever this town is. Like, they're only here and no one wants to go out and get them because they're cockroaches. He's like, I just go out there and throw them in a cup and sell them. I'm like,
dude, that reminds me. Okay. So I'm going to do another submission for my maybe weirdest one. It's also bug related. We asked the other day in the Millennial Money Man community, like, what's the weirdest thing you've done to make money? One lady came back and said she sells dead bees. She's a beekeeper, and you can sell 20 dead bees for $5 because people use them in jewelry and they use them for like just different things, artwork and stuff like that. So like, and then she said like beehives have, I can't remember how many thousands, but like one hive, if it happens to die somehow, I don't know how that works, but you can just take all of the bodies and then sell them. And so that is one that
lucrative. I mean,
there's a lot of money. Wow.
That's insane. I mean, that's the thing. I think the big takeaway here is that literally there is money to be made anywhere, but you got to put in the work. And I do think that's the gap that most people see. Like, again, like, why don't you see success in what you're doing? Well, chances are that you're not marketing it. You're not putting in the work. You're not, you know, following up, or you're not delivering the results. Like we were talking about my freelance writing experience earlier. Like, you know, you had a shot and you blew your shot because your work product actually sucked. Like,
right.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's, man, I would love, we could do another whole episode on just why is it that people don't want to put the work in to do things. Like, it's a very interesting thing because I get so many people that email and they want the easy way to make money. And then once they find out that there's like, there is no like super, super easy way to make $3,000-$5,000 a month, they just go like, oh, well, and they just go back to whatever they were doing before. So we could talk about that.
No, it's crazy. I mean,
I don't know.
I saw this has always stood out to me, and I've used this for years now, and I'll attribute it to Paula Pant of Afford Anything, amazing creator and amazing person. Yeah. But she always says, show me your time and show me your money and I'll show you what you value. And so one of the things I've always taken away is, as we're talking about these side hustles, you know, you definitely have your budget and you're trying to achieve a goal, whether that's get out of debt, make ends meet, get ahead financially. But, you know, no one wants to talk about where they're spending their time. Everyone wants to talk about the math and the budget. And then you have on the flip side of the side hustles, how much you can earn this. But that time piece, I think, is so critical in terms of what their calendar looks like, what you're spending your time. Are you spending your time at night just watching Netflix and ordering DoorDash? Or are you spending your night delivering for DoorDash and making money or whatnot? And to me, that piece is huge. It always goes back to that. It's never the math. It's always the time piece. And I was going to say, over my 10 years of asking people, whenever they come to me and they bitch and complain and they leave comments that are nasty, like, this doesn't work, I said, hey, if you want to take this and you want to email me your budget and you want to email me a copy of your weekly calendar fully filled out of what you did, we can have a rational conversation about this. And we got to use the same fact sheet, because like, seriously, maybe that this is a mom with like four kids and like doesn't have any time. Maybe it is. I'm not saying, like, everyone has a season of life, but I'll tell you that over 10 years of asking that question and challenging people, zero people. And I would say I've challenged well over 100, maybe closer to 400, 500 people. And zero people have ever taken me up on show me your time and show me your money. Dang. Because they never want to show me their calendar. It's always the calendar.
Dang. Okay. I have one more question for you. Do you think that, I don't know if we have a hard stop or whatever, but
we do have we actually have some viewers too. So like, oh, I love sick. Entertaining them, right? Like, let's do it.
Cool. Yeah. Cause I got a little more time. Do you think that some people are just hardwired to make it with something? Because that's the thing I've seen. We've had thousands of people come through our courses, and you get the people that just go and like, they do it and they'll grind for like whatever amount of time. Like there was one guy that we had that it took him 12 months to get his first client. This was for the Facebook side hustle course. But like after that, now he's making over $100,000 a year because he built it out into a full-blown agency. It took him 2 or 3 years, but like he grinded for 12 months. And then you get way more people that after like 2 weeks, they just drop off. And like, that's the challenge is always like getting those people to re-engage and trying to get them to go through the program and all of that. So like, do you think people are just hardwired to do that? Or do you think it's a, like an environmental thing? Like, or is it the way they were raised or like, you know what I mean?
I think it's a little of all of it, but I really do think it goes back to fit. And that you have to find something that aligns enough for you to stick through it. Like whether that's your personality or where you're at in life or what you like to do, because like, I'll even say like on the college investor, right? Like I made zero money from 2009 to 2011 and I still put out maybe 100 articles and like wrote and was trying to do the work. But why did I stick through it and grind? Cause I actually like talking about this stuff. I like writing about money. I enjoy it. It's fun. It also intersects with some other passions. I'm a little technical. I like the website stuff. So like it aligned with enough of my passions that like I was willing to stick through it and I enjoyed it. And so I do think that you have to have enough of that. Like you don't have to be like, this isn't like the grandiose, most wonderful thing that's ever existed. Like this doesn't have to be that. Your side hustle doesn't have to be that, but you have to have enough passion and or you need to have enough like just I think some people it's passion but some people it's like drive like I'm gonna do it so it's whatever that is for you internally to like be able to put your head down and get through those first 6 months 9 months of like of work like of slogging of like not being successful. I think I've told you my baseball analogy, right?
Maybe.
So like I view all of this as like baseball or sorry, like side hustles, blogging, whatever you want to do as baseball. I kind of like to share this with like, especially beginners, new people. And what I mean by this is that when you start playing baseball, you start in T-ball and everyone sucks. No one hits the ball. It's even on a pole and the kids can't hit the ball. You stand in the outfield. Everyone's bored. Kids are like picking their nose, looking the other way. Like no one knows what they're doing. It's just terrible. But you go out and you try and you listen and you learn. And that is literally whenever you create your first piece of content or your first side hustle, that is it. It doesn't matter. Like everybody's first piece of content was like that. Like it just sucked. Then you get to the next level and like maybe a couple more times you're hitting the ball. Still not much happening, but you're getting better and you have to keep having these at bats. Then you get to like, you know, actual like real little league where there's pitchers and stuff and a few more kids are hitting it and you know, you're getting better and better and maybe you make it all the way to the majors. But like one, there's like, you have to stick through this time. Like these kids started when they were 6 and 7 and now they're in their 20s. So they put 10 years, 15 years of work in. And the best baseball players out there, the best ones, they're batting 300, 350. Right. That means they still miss 2 out of 3 times they go up to bat. Like it's not like, you know, not that they miss, but like it doesn't go anywhere. And that's the world you live in. And like even us as content creators, like I think I'm better because I put in all this work. I still miss 2 out of 3 times. Maybe I miss probably like 4 out of 5 times, you know, but like you have to keep having these at bats every single day. You got to keep putting the work in every single day. And there's two things that happen. You just have more attempts. So like when things do succeed, you've had so many attempts, like you have a shot to have it succeed. And every attempt you get better and you get a little more experience and you learn a little something and you just have that practice. And so I think that's kind of my analogy, but I think that goes to like literally all of this, that you've got to have the attempts, you've got to have the at-bats, you've got to try, and then you will get better just from trying. And then you might get a home run every now and then. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think people should still start blogs?
Totally. 100%.
Do you think niche site, like, or what do you, cause I've been debating this with myself and with a team lately of like, how much do we promote blogs? I mean, clearly I've made money blogging. It's just hard to, with all the resurgence of TikTok and all the, you know, not resurgence.
I hate calling it a blog. But you should have a website. I would say no matter what you do in this world, you should have a website. And
I agree with that.
Do that as your home base, even if it's just your first name, last name.com. And like the only thing on it is like your LinkedIn page. Like I just start somewhere. But yes, because I think even in the age of video, so this is a great example. Even when the age of TikTok, there's this TikTok guy out there that promotes a life insurance product that is terrible. And he sells it as an investment product. It's not a scam. It's just, it's not the right product. It's missold. And it's leading people along, you know, like a bad path. You know, and so I think we wrote about it. And so like, I didn't make a TikTok video or anything about it. I just wrote about it and said, this is like, I created a whole article. Like, this is what the product is. And this is why it's not a good fit. And this is what you should be aware of. And the search volume, the amount of people searching for this on Google, was phenomenal. I'm talking like 1,000+ people, visitors a month to this article. And the only way you would ever actually even put this search term into Google is if you watch the video. So that to me tells me that the web still has a very important presence in the world. And having a static website and a place where people can read information is huge, because like you can't teach this stuff in a 60-second video. You know, and some people aren't visual learners too. Like I will tell you I have a Venn diagram that I keep of like, there's readers, there's listeners, and there's watchers. And it makes a Venn diagram where they all do overlap, there's people that prefer to consume their content in written format. There's people that prefer to listen, and there's people that prefer to watch. And they don't overlap as much as you think. So I think you need to, if you want to reach an audience of people that read, you've got to have written content somewhere. So
it's one of those things. Like I've promoted blogging forever. But I've really wondered lately, like you can start like the, you know, the very specific website on like barbecue grills and like as a quick, I'd say is like a fast-ish way to make money. Like, I just don't feel like it's there anymore. I do agree. Everybody needs a website. But I do think it's hard to compete sometimes now,
because I would tell you that like, if you wanted to start an article about a website about barbecue grills, you're right. You will not be successful unless you show the world that you literally know everything there is to know about barbecue grills. And then, but part two is like, so how do you make money on a website? I think everyone's kind of like, well, how do you make money on a website? Well, you can sell your own product or you can sell other people's products. And like, I'm guessing in like a barbecue grill example, you're going to sell barbecue grills and accessories for barbecue grills. But this is it. So like, but how are you going to prove that you're that expert? Chances are that means you need to freaking go try these barbecue grills. Use them, give product reviews that are real and not just like go to Amazon and rewrite like the product listing. And that's what Google has kind of been telling people for years too. Like I was on this hunting site the other day. I was looking for like some accessories for camping. And this dude has like, I mean, like he created one of the best affiliate sites I've ever seen in terms of like, he like had axes and it's like freaking videos. He bought all of like 10 axes of that kind of axe. And he's chopping wood and he like wrote about it and has like real pictures that he took of the product. But, you know, he probably invested, you know, $1,000 in buying all the axes. And then, you know, the money and the content and the time to create the video. And like, I'm sure he sells a ton of axes too. But flip side, like you have to do that work and you have to show the world that like, why should I believe you? And why are you this review? Are you sure it wasn't written by ChatGPT? And it's like, no, when you see the dude actually like grilling some steaks on a grill, like, you know, it's like actually a real review and he can give you like the impression and, you know, and that's where I think like things like, I always think of Wirecutter or Consumer Reports. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're like freaking testing all the washing machines like in their lab. Why have they built so much credibility over time? Well, it's because like they have a dude that tests washing machines.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. I've been tending to push people toward video a little bit more lately, just because I've seen how easy, I think we're in this like crazy age right now of like, I've never seen this amount of reach that you can get on all these different platforms with short form video and even long form content. Like, it's so easy to build an audience if you just consistently go out there and try to build an audience every day. But I've kind of been approaching with like, go video, like document what you're doing or do what you're like, review what you're doing. And then also have a website in addition to that. Like, that's been kind of the, I don't know if people want to go down that content creator route. Cause it's a long route too.
It is. And I agree. And I say like, focus on what you're actually good at. So if you're good at video, yeah. you could probably hire a freelance writer to take your finished video and convert it into an article for you, or vice versa. Like we do, like we have content creators that create our videos based on the articles we write and like the data that we create and source. And so like, you can go either way with this. Granted, it takes money, and you know, and if you're starting out, it's like, it takes your time because you got to do both. But you should definitely, even if you're just starting with a YouTube channel, you need to have your own home base that people can go to, because the amount of channels that get like demonetized or changed, like you need to have your own home base. I just can't reiterate that enough for people.
Yep. Get them off platform.
Definitely. Yeah. Even if you don't get them off the platform, you want to have that base that's yours, because the platforms change. I mean, like, you know, TikTok didn't exist 5 years ago. It might not exist in a year if like the government shuts them down or who knows, right? But like, can you move them to YouTube? Like, people, do you have brand awareness? People know who you are, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, 100%. All right, I do have to jump to a meeting soon, unfortunately.
No worries. Thanks so much for joining me. Do you want to share with everyone where they can find you, Bobby?
Yes, you can find me at, I hate the millennials so hard to spell. That's one of the worst things in the world. Millennialmoneyman.com. So that's my personal finance brand. Laptopempires.com is my digital marketing brand. So you can find me there. You can find us. We actually have a pod. We need more people to follow a new podcast that we put out for Millennial Money Man. It's called Questionable Decisions. It's we're hurting on the subscriber numbers, but it's a fun show. And we talk about questionable financial decisions that people have made. That's all we do. We talk about it, but it's me and the Millennial Money Man team. Questionable decisions, millennialmoneyman.com, Laptop Empires. That's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate it, Bobby. And thank you guys for listening and watching. We'll be back next week with another fun special guest as we answer your questions and talk about, I think next week we're going to talk about being a millionaire. So that should be a fun one. So hopefully you guys join us. Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Right.